the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP and my heart is hit.
Save it for Missyak. Missyak, grab her on a tap. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaliva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Aaron. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ, the final one of the 2018-2019 season. We'll have plenty of updates throughout the summer as well, but the Huskies season unfortunately came to an end on Saturday night at Bowling Green State University, 15th-ranked Bowling Green State University, with the win 3-2 on Friday night and 6-2 on Saturday night. Head coach Joe Schott is with us, getting through the snow this morning. Coach, a lot of drifting out there and canceling all schools today in Houghton and Keweenaw Counties.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to hear that the schools were canceled this morning, but I guess I got some snow plowing done yesterday, so it wasn't as bad as I thought, but kids will take a day home for sure.
Yes, and was not easy coming back for everybody. Oh. It was really poor roads on the way back from Bowling Green.
Yeah, and I wanted to tell congratulations to you on your championship yesterday.
Thank
Dirk
you.
Got back around noon, driving all night. We got back around 2 in the afternoon, driving all night. Now, there was that time change in there, but Dirk got right out of the vehicle, I heard, went right to his championship game of his hockey league, and they won the championship. So congratulations to you.
Thanks. So, Coach, Friday and Saturday night, a couple of games against a very good Bowling Green team. Let's start with Saturday night or Friday night's game. And
if I could, can I get in for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, I want to congratulate Corey Markham and Houghton on a great year. I also want to congratulate Calumet. They tried to fight through some adversity. That was a tremendous hockey game. I think it was Wednesday night that we got to see before we left on the bus, and Houghton beat Marquette in that, or Houghton beat Calumet in that game 3-2.
Saturday before the Northern game.
Game. We got to see that game, and Calumet trying to fight through a big injury that they, that they had, but good job to Houghton and to Corey on their run there. Our band got over to that game.
I know they were
excited about that, to that championship game. And then Sam Hoyt on a great first year, with the women's basketball team. Tough not getting in, a big upset win by Northern Michigan, and they catapulted them, and the girls didn't get in, but congratulations to all those players on both those teams. Great years. Great enthusiasm in the community, and only good things to come from those programs.
Yeah, I was crossing my fingers last night hoping that the women might get in. I knew it was going to be tough, but great season by all those people. Yeah, so Friday night, Coach, we go up 2-0, and I just some strong play at times by Michigan Tech to get us the lead, and some great goaltending, kind of kept Bowling Green out of it for a while, even though they had a lot of good shots and good opportunities on net.
Yeah, Jurisic was tremendous, and we gave ourselves a chance in that game. In the third period, there's 8.5 minutes to go, and we're up 2-0. And in honesty, we started the game well, I think, about the first 5 minutes. Then Bowling Green had some times where they had sustained pressure in our zone, our inability to kill plays with their size strength, and it's some sustained pressure. But then third period, we were in control. We got a 5 minute major called against us, with a couple minutes left in the second. It carried over for a couple minutes in the third. We got through that, and then we were playing our best hockey probably of the game, generating some scoring chances. We're in the offensive zone, and, a tough break, a very unfortunate call, a bad call, in honesty, a very unfortunate call, and, put us down. They gave an additional 2 minutes to Marcus Russell. And we weren't able to get over that. They scored on the power play, and then 30 seconds later, we lost a coverage in the corner, got beat out of the corner, which is something we worked on all year. It was a weakness we had to work on all year, and they got a deflection in front, and all of a sudden it's a 2-2 game, and another penalty on a faceoff play in the neutral zone. And they're up 3-2, and that ended up being the game, and a game that we were in control of, and, you know, working to close out. All of a sudden we'd be up 1-0 in that series, and it was unfortunate. It was probably, and I'm laughing with a lot of pain inside, emblematic of our year. I mean, how it happened, how things transpired. You look back so many times, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, as it goes on, and maybe have some questions on it, but so many opportunities on the year to play over adversity, and never were able to get that characteristic built into our culture to be able to finish a job. And we had a lot of chances. We'd face adversity and just could not get over that adversity as we were able to do in the past.
First period on Friday night saw Raymond Bryce, who back in the lineup after injury, get his third goal of the season.
And the Huskies will change things up as Paratino will hop onto the eight. Paratino with a shot! Where'd it go? Rebound! Bryce scores! Ray Bryce with the goal for the Huskies! On the rebound! And the Huskies take a 1-0 lead here in the first period.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Coach. Paratino was on the ice maybe for 3 seconds on his very first shift, because I believe he was the extra forward out there. He had the great opportunity in front, and Ray Bryce found the rebound.
Yeah, good player. That line played well for us on Friday. On Saturday, they had a hard time. It was a harder time with the matches and things, but on Friday night, they were our best line, and a big goal, character players, and it got us out in a positive way. And Saturday, we got out in a positive way as well, getting the first goal.
Alec Bretzman, then, in the second period of game number one, got a shorthanded goal. This was one of the most bizarre plays you'll see.
And that, not a good pass there by Rauhauser. Huskies capitalizing on it, sent around by Keegan Ford, and Reitmeier trying to slap it out of the zone, falls down and fanned on it, held in. Here's a shot by Rauhauser, off the post! Went off the post, and back up the center ice, the Huskies come, bringing it up as Bretzman. Score! Back the other way, a goal by the Huskies, and it's a lead call! How about that? Bretzman coming down the left wing, gives the Huskies a 2-0 lead after the Falcons nearly put it in.
Sounds like a home game.
It does.
Listen to the crowd, listen to our band.
Yeah.
I mean, sounds like a home game. Unbelievable support that we have. Unbelievable support, the pep band and the people that were at the game.
Great play, though. I mean, it was really a two-goal swing right there, because
yeah,
it almost went in. And then to come back, and Bretzman just, he continues to amaze me anyway on his, the accuracy of his shot.
From that spot.
Anywhere
yeah,
on the ice.
Yeah.
Over the blue line.
Yeah, that's that range there. And it's a rocket. It's heavy. It's an NHL shot. And he's a freshman. Hopefully that's a great sign of things to come. And that we can get that growth out of some of these young guys and build this thing.
So 2-0 to score. That is in the second period. The shots, 12-7 in the first, 19-9 in the second in favor of Bowling Green, but we're up 2-0. We go to the third period. We're over the halfway part of the third period, and I'm thinking, okay, 8-something left to go in the game. The way we're playing, we could probably pull this off. We get that double minor called against us, and the floodgates kind of opened up for Bowling Green.
Double minor?
2 minutes goal.
Shot scored! That's why the Huskies cannot afford to take penalties. So a 2-1 game now as the Falcons cut the lead in half. Chance for the Falcons now down inside the Michigan Tech zone, up top for Polkamp. Ford with the goal, tipped in front, they score! Tipped right in front at the tie hockey game. 6:37 left to go. Huskies trying to get the clear, they just can't. Two guys, Ray Bryce and Misiak, both failed on the clear. Got away from both of them and back in the corner. Huskies see it go back to Rauhauser at the point. He'll fake it. Sends it over for Cruz. Cruz walking it down. Here's the pass to the front. Score!
So three goals there within a minute 46, I believe it was. Really some nice passing on the power play goals, I thought.
Yeah, and we got caught. Poglis, who's one of our top penalty killers on the top penalty killing unit, got tossed out in the second period at the end of the second there, and for that 5 minute major, and then it was Stamen, our other top penalty killer off that unit, who got the cross-checking call on the faceoff in neutral zone. So we didn't have the depth to cover that on the penalty kill, and then their penalty kill got caught, or their power play got hot. They scored two in a row on Friday to end that game, and then they got their first two opportunities on Saturday to keep them going when we were actually playing very well on Saturday. So it was our inability to, again, to get things done.
Final shots 41-25 in favor of Bowling Green State University. Huskies 0 for 3 on the power play. Bowling Green 2 for 4 on the man advantage. We just couldn't seem to really get anything going on the man advantage. And they were a little bit chopped up, too, because of, I think, overlapping penalties somewhat. But
We were our power play fought it on Friday night. It was, in honesty, poor execution. And we talked about it and on Saturday and made some adjustments and were able to get some better opportunities, better zone time and do a better job.
So the final score, 3-2, a tough one for the Huskies because if you're on the road, that Friday night game is so important to win if you're going to give yourself a chance to win a three-game series or a best-of-three series. And, hats off to Bowling Green for finding a way to come back in that game. But we gutted it out as best we could in that third period. Boy, it was a tough one. Let's talk a little bit about Saturday night's game at Bowling Green. We're back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies, for the second straight night, had the first goal of the game.
Eric Oates is forced back inside of his own zone. He's got Seamus Donahue with him. The Huskies will take their time now coming out. Bringing it up is Donahue. Where's number two for the Huskies? The sophomore defenseman in the skates. Huskies are onside this time. Bliss in front. Chance for Lucchini. Score! Jake Lucchini from Bliss! And the Huskies take a 1-0 lead.
I just thought that was just a great play by
everybody
involved.
We set it up. There's irony to it because the guys came in. They wanted to run a power play breakout that I didn't think was going to work. That unit did. And I said, fellas, and we looked at video, and I said, if you just execute this, I guarantee you you'll isolate the two-on-one. You'll get a scoring chance. I said, but if you guys think that running a stealth is the way to go, you know, you guys try it. I said, but make sure, let's watch this and make sure that we have this in our bag of tricks. Well, they must have walked out of it and said that, let's do it his way for one and then we'll do it our way. And they ran it. The first breakout they had, they ran the play that was open the whole night on Friday night, every power play breakout that we had, and they were able to get it in and get the goal on it.
Well, great goal. Jake Lucchini's 10th of the season, and the Huskies go up 1-0 in the first period. Not long after that, though, an even strength goal by Adam Smith for Bowling Green State University tied the game up.
Turnovers the Huskies cannot afford here tonight. You can't score right off of the faceoff. Smith right through traffic. A heavy screen in front of Jerusik, and it ties the game up right off of the draw.
We saw that a lot in that first period, a lot of bodies in front of Matt.
Yeah, they go to hard areas. Remember we talked about it on when they were here. We shut them out the first night. The next night they got three goals, all of them off bodies. Their first two goals on Saturday both went off of, I believe they both went off of Reitmeier. The first one did for sure, but that means that they have bodies in front and they're shooting the puck at into those bodies and they're getting through. We're not getting the blocks on them and they're getting through. And both goals, 5-on-5 goals on Friday, I believe it was the first and third goals in the first period were the identical, where they traffic in front and they bounced off of guys and went in. And there's nothing. I thought Jerusik was tremendous in the game. I didn't think we gave up any bad goals in the hockey game. And, they had a penalty shot goal. Again, questionable, but a penalty shot goal. And then they had empty net goal. We were on a power play trying to get back in the game, last-ditch effort. And as immediately as soon as we got the goalie out, we gave him the puck and shot it down. That was a nemesis all year for us, so being strong on the puck. So we didn't give up, I didn't think, a bad goal. And it was great to get Devin Caro in there. He did a good job and great to get him in the net and let him end his career.
He did. So Adam Smith, Max Johnson, and Connor Forrest scored the three goals in a row in the third or first period to make it a 3-1 lead for Bowling Green. But Jake Lucchini gets his second of the game to pull the Huskies within one.
Much like they did last night with three quick goals in the third period, they have done that here in the first. Play back inside of the Michigan Tech zone. Here's Rockwell going D to D with Seamus Donahue up for Lucchini. Lucchini coming across now. Nice pass over for Smith. Smith in front for Lucchini. Scores! Oh, what a play! Smith saucered that in there on the alley-oop play. And the Huskies are back in this game. 3-2.
Great drive to the net by Jake Lucchini on that one, Coach. And, boy, Smith looked really good in that game.
He was tremendous. You know, we'll talk a little bit maybe about this. Maybe I don't know if the question is what they're going to lead into. But he gave us about, I'm going to say, six really good games down the stretch. And I think there's a reason for that. But he gave us tremendous games. That goal there was as a very similar to the play that he made a year ago in the icebreaker when when he fed it to Misiak on for the Misiak's first goal of his career in that game that when we won the icebreaker tournament a year ago. And you know, the irony of the whole thing is you know, you got Brooksy and Dallas are in between the in between periods, and they're saying, I've never seen Alex Smith play that way, and I didn't know these guys could play that way. And you got to think of the irony in those comments, because even myself, I forgot how good Alex and Luch could be. And in that game, they were dominant. And you know, it makes you wonder to some degree, but they were dominant in that. I mean, they were so good in that Saturday night game. Every shift, you know, and Smitty, there was no one on the ice on either team better than Smitty was in that game. And, you know, that makes me happy for him, maybe going forward. And again, happy for Luch that he was able to have a big last game here in his career.
So that made it 3-2 going into the second period. So where there was very little scoring in the first period the night before, just one goal, five goals were scored in the first period on Saturday night. They get their fourth goal in the second period off the power play goal from Max Johnson, his second of the game.
I should say score is 3-2. Bowling Green, they have the power play. Schneider across the line. Couldn't poke it away from him. Shot scores! Far side post, a one-timer to the top of the crease on the far side. A pretty play by the Falcons, but one that should have been sniffed out by the Huskies, and it's Matt Johnson with his second goal of the game.
Yeah, I know we had a guy fall down on the puck carrier coming in, but
yeah, you called it perfectly.
You called
the play perfectly. Goetze got beat to the outside, fell down on the play. They victimized our, I think, our team speed to some degree on defense. But the play still came from the outside, and we had one-on-one coverage isolated in front of the net. And, they got the puck through Rockwell and they victimized us. They got us on that. We don't use Rocky that much on the penalty kill, but he was out there on that penalty kill unit. Dallas chose to go with him on that. I don't know who was in the box. Maybe it was a D in the box that shortened up our defensive core and they were able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, Seamus Donahue was.
Yeah, there you go. So, and Seamus would have been out there with Goetze on that. So, and Seamus and Rocky and Seamus are partners. So, Dallas chose to go with Rocky on that. On that rotation and fill him in, the partner for Seamus on that.
So that made it 4-2, and then they scored, as you mentioned, in the third period, the penalty shot goal from Letourneau and the empty net goal by Connor McDonald to finish it off the 6-2. So the score looked a lot worse than the game actually was. Shots were 35-27, and the Huskies were 1-for-7 on the power play, 2-for-3 for Bowling Green State University. And the final score again, 6-2, and that ended the season, Coach. And even though the season was over, as you've been mentioning, and as you mentioned after the game, some very good things to take out of, especially that Saturday night game.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of irony. We'll get to questions here, but there's a, you know, I have a lot of mixed emotions. I had a lot of things going through my head yesterday, when we got back, went outside, and I think Laura probably realized, hey, let's get him out of the house here. And she said, let's go move some snow. We went out and, you know, snowblowed and got things out of there. And, you know, you look back, at things differently, at different times. You know, you get a bad diagnosis maybe from the doctor, or you're not feeling well, you're worried about things, you look at things differently. You know what I mean? Things at times, critical times. So you really have to listen to your inner self of what's going on, what comes to your mind at those times. And it was, you know, yesterday was emotional. I feel better today. I'm energized today about getting, about moving forward. Yesterday was kind of, a little day of closure, for me and some sentiment and things like that. So.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll start your questions. If you have a question, you can still get it in. DJ@themix93.com. It's the Joe Schott Hour continuing right after these on Mix 93.
Dreaming up the ideal retirement is your job. Helping you get there is ours. That's why we encourage you to contribute to an Edward Jones IRA by April 15th. By investing in an Edward Jones IRA, you can take advantage of potential tax benefits for 2018. To help make sense of your retirement goals before the April 15th tax deadline, contact me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
At Michelob Ultra, we know it's not just about how much you work out every day. It's about how much you work into every day, too. So we brew our beer for those who realize that expending calories should never come at the expense of spending time with friends. Those who understand that just because you work out doesn't mean you can't go out. And that's why we brew Michelob Ultra to have 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and a crisp, clean taste. Michelob Ultra, brewed for those who live fit, live fun, live ultra. Enjoy responsibly. 2018 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams of protein, 0 grams of fat, 12 ounces.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. On a Monday morning, we're finishing up the 2018-2019 season. Let's get to some questions. And again, you still have time to get questions in at dj@themix93.com. Question here today. First of all, this listener, Coach, says, I want to thank Coach and the players. They put their heart and soul into it and worked really hard all year. Also, thanks to the coaches. I know they put in long hours and not much reward and a lot of criticism. So, this person saying, here's to a better 2019-2020 season, Coach. And the next question is, we really seem to struggle on the PK this weekend. Did Bowling Green do something different at the end there on Friday night?
First of all, thank you for the comments, the first email that came in. Thanks so much for that. No, they didn't. I think we talked about that. I don't know when that was sent in. What happened was you saw our lack of depth in some degrees. And as I explained, at the end, what happened was TJ Pogliese. Now, TJ Pogliese is a player that a great character kid that is in the lineup because we had – for penalty killing – completely the reason he's in the lineup, and again, that's part of what was on my mind yesterday. I'll probably talk about this in a few minutes, but completely on our, because of our inability to find guys that can penalty kill and how bad our penalty kill was early in the year, we talked about that many times. He earned a way in the lineup because he is a good penalty killer with energy and things like that. Well, he got tossed out with about 2.5 minutes left in the second period on a hit from behind, 5 minute major game misconduct, and that hurt our. That hurt it. And then what you have is then you have Dylan Stamen go in the penalty box. And we were caught, and then Seamus Dine, you know, different things happen, and we were caught with a lack of depth of guys that can adequately penalty kill. And you have a veteran group of players on Bowling Green with Rahauser and Cruz and guys that can, you know, that can make plays. And they made plays, and we're looking at them. The two goals on Friday were the identical play. The absolutely same play from opposite sides. A goal line play to a quick pass cross to a one-time backdoor. Both passes through our defender in front that has backdoor coverage. Identical plays. Personnel. I mean, there's no other way to do it. We had it covered perfectly. They passed it through a guy. We have a power play set up to do the exact same thing. We don't get the play. They're, you know, the pucks get, you know, deflected. They make the play. They stop the play. They found the opening. They made the play. So nothing on that. Saturday night, again, victimized. We talked about the first goal was a one-time pass, a deflection in front where they out-muscled our defenseman. We got the save in front. So it was a shot pass to the slot. They deflected from the slot into the front of the net and then crash with two guys, and we aren't able to tie up. We just got out muscled on that, and they took three whacks at it and put it in. That was their first power play goal. And then the second one, we got victimized on personnel on a line rush. We fell down. And so, it was, we got caught, we got victimized victimized by personnel issues, by lack of depth at that position, and we weren't able to overcome it. So they didn't, it wasn't adjustments, it wasn't anything like that. It was just personnel issue changes, and we worked so hard at so many different things. But when you get in a position where you don't have, the ability to when you get into your depth, and which happens in playoff series and happens in things, you either get through it or you don't. Now let's look at a couple things here, some adversity type stuff. And this really goes into the year, so we'll get talking now. We had 24, maybe 25 basically one goal games this year. A lot in the second half against good competition, and never were able to get over that hump on growing. And every time it happened, I can guarantee you we focused and worked on pulling the goaltender. We focused and worked on and personnel and changing personnel so we wouldn't get caught by guys that would turn the puck over and doing different things. And the puck still ended up going in our goal, knowing that we're giving up those goals and we're not going to even play some of our top players because of turnovers and things, lack of strength on the puck that ends up in our net. We were never once able to overcome that adversity. Let's look at a year ago. Same staff, same everything a year ago. I'll just give you we go into Mankato. All right. Same opportunities to go one way or go the other. We go into Mankato. Devin Carroll's our starting goaltender at that time, wins us a series in Bemidji, gets hurt on Friday night. Big loss because we turned it over to Devin down the stretch, won the homecoming, or win a carnival, MVP for us, did great. He gets hurt on Friday, and we've given him the job. Packy Munson goes in goal. We're down now, 1-0. We lose a one-goal game Friday night. I believe it was a two-goal game. In Mankato, in their rank, they're one of the top-ranked teams in the country. Saturday, we come out, and we get a win. We play a tremendous game on Saturday night and get a win. We go to Sunday, and immediately after warm-ups, Brent Baltus comes over to me and he says, and this is after warmups, the referee said they're going to call the game differently and we're going to get a different officiating in the game. Now, the first game maybe had five power plays total by both teams in the first two games of the series. Now the league office has called the officials and told them call more penalties. Basically is what they told them. So after the first period, I'm going across the ice and we had like four or five shorthand. We were shorthand four or five times in the first period in the deciding game for our season at Mankato a year ago. I asked Brady Johnson, what gives Brady? Why the change? Why did you tell? He says, you tell me. You guys called the league office and complained. So some sort of communication was made with the league office. Now this is a year ago. So whatever, alright? So now we're gonna have a lot of penalties in that game, in the deciding game, which clearly in Mankato gives Mankato, one of the top two power plays in the country, an advantage. But we got through it. We got the saves, and we won in overtime and got a big goal. We got through it. We were able to get through adversity a couple years ago. We were down, we lost the first night to Bemidji in the Winter Carnival, and Devin did us a great job, and we played a great game and won like 5-2. We had to win by so many goals to win the Winter Carnival Championship. We did it. We had that within our culture, within our group, to face adversity and face the challenge of it and get through it. This year, so many opportunities to get through that. Just like in the game, we're up 2-0. Okay, so the referees make a bad call. The league apologized for the call. Never should have happened. The call on Russell that put us down. It was for, I don't know what they saw, why they called it. Russell got tackled on the play. We're in the offensive zone. He got tackled. He did get up and give a slash back. So, all right, if you're going to call anything 2-2. But it's just adversity. You know what I mean? Get it done. Quickly, it's in the net. Like that. To the point where the caller, or the good question comes in, did they do something different? No. It's how we handled adversity within our group. And then right from that point on, we knew our defensive zone coverage. We have our best D on the ice. Falls down. They get a deflection in front. The karma of this year, the irony of this year was just so ironic. In so many capacities, we'll talk about more as we go forward, I think, but so many things happen that you're like, did we make a difference? You know, did we make a difference in these guys' lives? Like things going forward, let's hope we grow from that. Did we make a difference? The message that we're sending out, the character that, and I have to hope that we did. But you don't know. We won't know until we come up until we face it in the future, how we come through that. we know that before, and we said it on the show, a four-win team, a group of guys that won four wins in a whole year, ended up senior year getting into the national tournament, being number one in the country for a time. So you learn from that if it matters enough. You learn, you get better, you say, this isn't going to happen, you work hard. We'll see if we have that within us.
Next question, Coach. There has been some chatter this season that some of the upperclassmen weren't leading the dressing room the way that you would have liked. And when do you anticipate naming...
Naming captains?
Yeah, when do you anticipate naming captains
well,
and alternates?
I can tell you this. Here's a part of what I was thinking about yesterday. Here's something with me. Going into this year, I had a little bit of a problem with captains as to strength of character, control of the group, those types of things. Never had that feeling last year. I completely trusted Brent Baltus, Joe Lesperance. I had a feeling with that this year, to the point, and I even told this to the group and I told this to the individual, I wanted to put a letter on Tommy Beretta. And talking as a staff, the comments back to me were, you can't put a letter on a guy that you don't know is going to be in the lineup all the time. And my comment was, why? If he's leading our group, if I feel that he's everything that we want in a group, what's it matter? I didn't put a letter on him, but I told him throughout the year that I want you to know this. This is how much I think about you. And yesterday on my mind, when I was snowblowing, I couldn't get Tom Beretta off my mind because I didn't play him at Joe Louis Arena in the two games there. I didn't play him at last weekend in the two games in critical times. Every time I got to the point where I was challenging our culture and I wanted to do that, I said, I got to have Tom Beretta in the lineup. But the problem I had with Tom was that we talk about this. If Tom was a good penalty killer for us, if we felt he had that, we tried him at several times in his career, he would have been in the lineup over Poglace because he's, in my opinion, he's got leadership all over him. But Poglace locked himself in the lineup for one reason. I think he had one point on the year. It was early on a penalty kill where he fed the puck to Stamen, I think, on a shorthanded goal. He might have scored it. I think he got the assist on it. But one point on the year, that's all he got on the year. Marcus Russell could penalty kill if we need him to, but played center. He was in the lineup. No points in the 8 or 9 games that he played. Beretta would have been in if he was a centerman or a penalty killer. And on the power play, he's not great on the rush to help us on the breakout, but he's a really good shooter. So that's really his dynamic. And we did at different times put him on the ice. So, the question is going, do you question next year? I am looking right now at for sure having a letter on Ray Bryce. Will Ray Bryce be in the lineup all the time? I don't know. I hope so. I would for sure look at putting a letter on Todd Killinen. Will he be in the lineup all the time? I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. But those guys are Tom Beretta for me. They're character, and I'm not going to make that mistake again and be meeting all the time with my captains. And now, do I think our guys did a good job? I think they did a good job. But I'll give you, and I'm not going to say captains, but I'm going to say upperclassmen here, and I'm going to check the time. I'm going to say upperclassmen. I'll tell you a couple instances that happened this year that led to things and led to conversations between myself and Suzanne, our athletic director, and things. Because I get on the radio show and I make comments. There's so much more that leads to my comments. I think some people get it. I think some people get offended by it. I think some people, like I said before, some people are hard, and I think hard attracts hard, and some people are soft, and soft attracts soft. And the two don't get along. They don't coexist. You either hard and you get through things or you don't. And I said that in the radio, and Joe, you can't do this. Okay, I get it. I'll sugarcoat. I'll make everything nicey nice. Now we're at this stage of the year. Are you going to do things different, Joe? That's basically what this caller is saying. Joe, are you going to do things differently? Two instances on the year. We're not going to mention names. One of them, we're in a critical situation of the year. We're talking about having to play for each other. We're talking about the sacrifices you make when you put others first. And I have a player asked to talk to me. And the player says to me, now I'm going to get, Joe, you can't say that in the air. Why can't you? Says to me, I send the bus away. I say, we're going to bring this player back. You know, this player will ride with us back. And we sit down. I sit down with the coach and the player, and we have a talk. And the player says to me, Joe, I have to, I've always been a team guy, but I have to be selfish now. I need to have the most minutes on the team. I need to be on the first power play. I need to be the guy that goes on the ice with the goalie out. I need that. I've got these opportunities, I think. I need that. You need to do that. And my comment was, this must have been so hard for you to come talk to me, because you know how much I am about all my talks about the group and taking care of others, and that good things would come to you if you take care of others. That was my answer back. This must be so hard for you. But I can tell you with my whole heart, if you sacrifice for others, I believe this, your life will work out the way it's supposed to work out. Maybe that'll be as a hockey player. Maybe that will be as a bus driver. Maybe that'll be as, I don't know what it'll be as, but you'll make everybody around you better. You'll find your purpose. You'll find your drive, which we talk about all the time. You'll find where you're supposed to be in life, and you'll impact it. And you'll look back, and it might be one instance that you changed somebody's life, but that instance will be what will define you ultimately. That was the talk that we had. And then I walked out, and I said to the coaches, I said, fellas, this is so much deeper than I ever thought. I went on the board, and I said, this is what we're looking at. And I drew an iceberg, and I drew the top, which everybody sees, the beautiful part of that iceberg above the water is about 10% of what's underneath. That's the Titanic. It's about 10% of what's underneath. And what's underneath is the 90%, the big part. This individual coming and talking to me was knowing how I'm so much against that. You know, I talked to the guys about a person will give their life to somebody else. I've talked about this on the radio show more than before they'll do it for themselves. If they have people they care about, or their family members or their kids, and they're attacked by a bear or a lion, they will tell their kids to run, and they will take on that animal to save them. But if it's to them, if there's no one to defend or somebody else doesn't matter, they'll be the first to run, because they're going to try to save their own life. But they will sacrifice their own life for others before they'll do it for themselves. That's what you need to have. 90% of what's underneath. If this individual came forward and had mentioned the word selfish 5 times to me in that conversation, and that's the 10%, to come and do that, what is going on underneath the water? Those are the comments that we talked about. Now, another one, the converse side of that, I had a player come in, and we didn't play this player. And this player thought, we're making an example of him, and this is embarrassing, Joe. You know, I've got players from last year's team calling me. What'd you do? And you did nothing. You did absolutely nothing. But let me ask you, what have you done? What do you need to work on? What do you think you need to work on, son, as a player? Well, this. Have you done that? Because I haven't seen you on the exercise bike one time, upping your conditioning. I haven't seen you. And Tyler hasn't seen you in the weight room one time, upping your strength level so that you could be a better conditioned athlete. We haven't seen you one time after practice or in our extra skill sessions on the ice. I've told you several times over your career and tested you and said, I want you to come in for video. And unless I say to you, I want you in at this specific time, you don't take the initiative to come in and get better. I'm not making an example out of you. I'm going to commitment level. I'm playing. Well, this player turned into a star for us, just by a change of focus. So I made a mistake. You know, did I make a mistake with Tom Beretta? When you look back yesterday when I'm snow blowing and I'm looking back and saying, you know, getting through adversity like we did a year ago, like we talked about, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know the impact we've made on kids until years down the road, but I know the pushback that we got this year, and it was hard. It was hard. Let me say this. These are great kids. These are absolutely great kids. They didn't give our program, they represented us in a great way. But athletics is a competitive situation. It's a pure, natural thing in life. It's pure. You can't cheat in athletics. You have to put in the time, and it doesn't guarantee you're going to have success. You don't get, you know, I'm not a participation award guy. I'm a earn it, and when you don't earn it, okay, if a trophy means that much to me, I'm not good enough to get a trophy in this. Maybe I better go play piano or do something different. Find what it is in my life that I can, if I'm chasing an award, that I can get an award at. I don't think you should just get an award for participating. Now, there's going to be people who are out there saying, you are so wrong, Joey. You have to build up their esteem, their culture. I think you build up your own. I think it's up to parenting to build work ethic and things like that. And I think it's up to teachers and coaches to reinforce that. But so often now you feel like you're having to develop it. And I've told our coaching staff, I want to know everything about everybody we're recruiting. I want you talking to the counselors. I want you talking to their priests, their ministers, their whatever. I want you to know their, how do they treat their dog? I want you to know everything about these kids, because when they get here, I want to know that they're going to go the extra mile. We have to know that. We have to know what we're getting here, because, and I don't want guys coming into Michigan Tech thinking that this was my last choice. I want them coming in here, as we've talked about, this is a special place with a special opportunity, with the best fan base in the best family of supporters that you can have. We've given everything that you can have. There's no one given anything more than we have. The only thing different is one guy's wearing Levi's and one guy's wearing, you know, Walmart blue jeans or something like that. And I'm not knocking Walmart for those of you who think that Walmart's the best. What I'm saying is that some people are wearing a Big Ten coat to the rink, but they aren't getting any more, and their environment is, and their opportunity and things is no better than what our guys have. Our guys are given more and more opportunity and more support than a lot of them are given. I guess that's the way that I feel about this situation.
Yeah. All right. Very good, Coach. We'll take a break. More of your questions coming up in just a moment. It's the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy, knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Launce today, or call us at 906-524-6330.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
It's March Madness at your party headquarters of the Copper Country, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All six packs of bottled beer are on sale. All 2 liters are $2 for $3. Canada Dry 1 liters and 7-Up 20 ounces are 99 cents. Save your bucks at Bucko's. T-shirts and hoodies are in full force. Check out Bucko's expanded clothing aisle and alpaca gear selection. All sales at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet do not include taxes and deposits.
The Kaliva Cafe on Quincy Street in Hancock has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including daily specials, pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizzas and salads, and breakfast all day. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the trimmings for just $10.95. The Kaliva Cafe opens 7 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 8 till 9.
When you need to find a bar at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Stock up on 5-gallon buckets of CarQuest hydraulic fluid, now only $49.99 each at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet through March 27th.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Vanilla and Coke all together. Orange Vanilla Coke, available nationwide, so you can literally try it today. Orange Vanilla Coke. Yes, it's also available in Orange Vanilla Coke Zero Sugar. Orange Vanilla Coke. Yeah, you heard that right.
How new is the new Orange Vanilla Coke? Well, that's something you'll just have to find out for yourself. Go out and grab an ice-cold, new Orange Vanilla Coke. It's new, it's orange, it's vanilla, and it's just as refreshing as every sip of Coca-Cola should be. Introducing new Orange Vanilla Coke and Orange Vanilla Coke Zero Sugar. Yeah, you heard that right.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikola
and Jeff Mickish from the Turvo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turvo, insurance simplified.
We are looking at your questions on the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Another question, Coach, with Jake Jackson missing so many games throughout his career, is there any possibility of a medical redshirt for him?
No, he played too many games this year.
That's what I thought. For next question, Coach, in listening to the show, it sounds like it was a struggle on and off to get complete buy-in this year. How might you compare this to other years in your coaching career when you encountered similar struggles?
Never had it before. In honesty, never had it. I've never been a head coach of a losing, with a losing record in a year. And never had a team that I didn't think, showed that constant improvement like we did last year. It was hard. I don't know, in honesty, if, I knew one thing this year and I said it. And again, I got, criticized for saying it because but I know we have to get their hearts. I know we have to get their hearts. And I've just explained why that comment was made with a couple of conversations. When you're dealing with significant people in your life and significant people on the team, and you have conversations where they're telling you I have to be selfish, when they're saying, this is embarrassing, we're all making it about us. When everything with me is you have to serve others. You have to take care of others. You know what I mean? In that, we'll grow as a group. I've never felt where, and in juniors, it's easier because you know you have personalities and you trade them. You gain trade value in them. You showcase them somehow. You do something and you trade them and you go after character and you rebuild. This was hard. I don't know if I handled it the right way, the wrong way. I don't think we got personal at all with the guys. I don't think the guys were afraid to make a mistake. I don't sense that at all because when players are coming in and having the conversations that I'm having with you, they're not afraid. You know what I mean? They're not afraid of you. So, we'll see. I would give myself a poor grade this year because I wasn't able to get their hearts. But I don't know what was going on. All I know is that we didn't have that buy-in, from a lot of great kids and we had a very individualistic attitude when everything we were preaching was the other way. So, it's tough that we won't know until next year how much of an impact we had and maybe years down the road.
Now the question, Coach, do you plan or hope to add any more players to the 2019-20 roster?
Yes.
Okay. Next question for Coach is, first of all, thank you, Coach. Joe and the entire staff for all your hard work this season. Hats off to the seniors for what they've accomplished in their careers as Huskies. as they are a part of the core that helped turn the entire program around. What are some of the things you can look forward to next season, such as non-conference trips?
We're working on, I think we have a couple finalized right now that we're not, I can't say anything about. I do know that we have Clarkson coming in here next year. We have the GLI. We are going to Arizona after Christmas. There's one other in there, but I do know that we have that off the top of my head.
Next question. What grade would you give the team, and what grade would you give you and your staff?
Let's start with the staff. I would give, myself personally, I feel I failed. So, and I feel I failed because of the reasons I've stated. We weren't able to create the culture, and I wasn't able to get to the bottom of it too, because we had ourselves in position so many times. Like, you know, people in the game, friends at the professional level that see us play, that I know, coaches that we coach against say, Joe, how could you, and I'll just throw this out there because I don't believe it. What do you expect, Joe? You look at your defense. What do you expect? I don't buy that, because what I buy is that we had opportunity throughout the year where we got in games and had the ability to make it go either way. Tie games in the third period or up by a goal in the third period, as in Friday night against Bowling Green. So we had the team to get us to that point. So I don't buy the excuses that they weren't good enough. They were, you know, too small, too this, too that, too that, non-competitive. I don't buy that. What we didn't get is the right frame of mind the right toughness, the right mentality. I say with my heart, we had soft and we had hard, and they're not going to coexist. And there were times, you know, within the staff and with players coming to us and saying this, that we want them to succeed as a team more than the team wanted to succeed as a team. And I don't know the elements. I don't completely know the elements. All we could do is do what we felt is right, try to reward what we felt was right, and move ahead. So I would give the team a D, because of growth, because of the things I'm saying, but I would give individuals, a lot of young guys, did a really good job. A lot of old guys did a good job, did a really good job for us. But I'd give the team a D. I think we underachieved, and I'd fail myself for sure.
Coach, on the game, in the games this past weekend, there was a hit on Stamen that was reviewed, for possible head contact. They reviewed it and did not call the major penalty. What, did you get an explanation this listener?
Yeah, there were two things on that. Number one, we wanted him to look at contact of the head, but the other thing we wanted them to look at, hitting a player in a vulnerable position, because both of those are major penalties. And it was certainly a major penalty, because Stamen was in a vulnerable position and got run right over. All they looked for was contact to the head. And I told them that's not what we wanted you to look at. We wanted you to look at a major penalty on it. And, it was a crew that was a little bit in over their head for sure. I don't know if that was their first playoff action ever. But they had a hard time with the crowd. I think they reffed more to the crowd noise than they did to the game. But that's what we were looking at, was that, because it was really no different of a hit, if you look at it, than the hit that Donahue put on the Mankato guy that got them a major when we were up by a goal with 3 minutes left at home, and they got a 5-minute major and scored on it and then beat us in overtime. It was no different than that type of hit.
Next question for you, Coach, is actually just a statement. Our meteorologist, John D., says he's given you a standing ovation for your coaching and the hard work that you're putting in this year. So.
Oh, thanks, John. John D.
Next question for Coach is, Coach, do you ever think Mike Zook's point total will ever be broken? Which is way up there.
What is it, 200, 300
points? It's crazy, yeah.
I'm going to say no, not in today's game. You play your depth too much, and no, I would say no.
All right, and I think we had one more question that just came in. What type of players are you looking for, Coach, coming in here?
Character and compete. You can do a lot with that. We obviously have to have talent, but I don't want a guy that thinks that he's doing us a favor by being here. I want them to respect. These guys don't know what they have. They really don't. You know, you look at so many guys this year. They're looking at Joel L'Espérance playing in the NHL this year. They're looking at Matt Roy playing in the NHL this year. They're looking at Mitch Rehnke leading the American League and scoring breaking records for his franchise for rookie scoring. They're saying, that's me, that's me, that's me. And that's not me. That's not you. They're that because of who they are and their whole package. They're that because of their drive, their focus, their understanding. They're that. That doesn't just happen. The reason we did a really good job, as did they, in preparing those guys for professional hockey. And let's give it to them, first of all. But the same environment here prepared them, Blake Piedla, Tanner Kara, all those guys for professional hockey. The environment hasn't changed. The expectation that this should just happen to me, it's my time, I deserve this, that has changed. And none of us, again, I'm not a participation guy. I'm a be part of a team, be part of a group, earn everything you get in life. Don't expect anything. Jeez, our country wouldn't have been, Laura and I watched, yesterday she put on, she said, have you ever watched Abe Lincoln after we got done snow blowing? The Lincoln story or whatever? She watched on Netflix or whatever. I hadn't, I mean, the sacrifices that people made over, you know, read them every day. I read biographies and stuff like that. I don't read fictional stuff. You know, I answered it. I'm done.
What are your thoughts on this weekend, Coach? The series between Minnesota State and Bowling Green, Northern hosting Bowling Green and Minnesota State hosting Lake State.
For me, easier to predict than if the other matchups were to happen. I think that Bowling Green, with the way they play, with their size strength game, with their puck possession game, with their grinding you down game. On the big ice at Northern, they have to get there, just like they did last year. Northern was able to beat them last year. If they can find a way to get there and to manage that time and space, and not have to chase the puck around the ice to try to catch up to play that possession game, then they can have success. But if they can't, then I would pick Northern in that series with their top end guys and the special teams. Because I think that the goaltending then will become the biggest factor, and I think Ante Tolvanen is absolutely special. So I would pick Northern in that series, unless Bowling Green can find a way to shrink the rink up and create puck battles and get the way that they play, that grinding style involved in the game. If they're chasing the puck, I'd say that's going to go Northern Michigan's way. I would say that, but Bowling Green can win that series. I would say that the other series, that Lake Superior could win that series, but it'd be an upset because of the Mankato competes as hard as they do, and overall through the depth of their lineup has more depth and more skill through the depth of their lineup, everything else being equal. So I would say Mankato in that series. Now, with that said, anything can happen in a playoff series. If they would have gone the other way, I think that Lake State would have matched up pretty well with Northern at Northern, having just played there and things, and even though Northern swept them there, I think they would have matched up very well there, and I think that Bowling Green's grinding style would have matched up very well with Mankato in there, and those series, both of them, I wouldn't have felt as predictable as I think that these two series could possibly be, but again, they could go the other way.
Really quick, Coach, what does the coaching staff do now, the players and all that stuff, with the season being over?
Well, the two guys yesterday went out recruiting, and I came back on the bus because I wasn't going to leave the team alone on the trip back north. One of us had to be with them. I'm going to get out recruiting. I've got some trips I want to make as quickly as possible and get out to some areas and get a look at myself at some players. I want to see our guys coming in. I want to talk to them personally, to the guys coming in. I want to get out and see some guys that we've been talking with that may make us a better hockey team. So right now it's, I am excited and energized for moving forward. I think I know what, I mean, I feel we know what we need. I'm confident we know what we need. I'm confident that we have to make sure that we reinstill the attitude here where, let's get rid of this entitlement thing and, you know, get a culture in here that you have to perform, where we don't have a guy come in and say, coach, you know, I've played here forever. This is embarrassing. I mean, I should be playing. No. It's what you do for, it's what we all do now. It's what Joe Sean does now. It's what you do now. It's what everybody does now. The equipment staff, the hockey ops staff, the training staff, we all have to pull together and do our job and make sure that, what our growth this year isn't acceptable and that our expectations change.
Thanks for everything you do, Coach. We really appreciate it. Thanks to all you guys listening out there and sending in questions all season long. And we'll get you in here on a very regular, semi-regular basis, I guess, to get updated on what's going on.
Good.